Hi class, let's learn about a very important topic in human resource management, that is organizational structure and design. How the departments are made, how the design of the organization is made so that ultimately a good control of all the elements of the organization can occur and the effectiveness of the organization is taken care of based on various factors in the form of size, structure, strategy, etc. So our learning objective will be to understand what we mean by organization structure and what are the different elements of the same. After that, we learn about the different organizational designs and models. It can be functional design, product design, geographical design, matrix design, etc. We are going to determine what are the determinants of the structure. It can be strategy, size, environment, technology, etc. We are going to learn about the impact of organization structure on employee behavior. How people are going to behave based on what kind of organization structure is there, that also we'll learn. So let's learn about what we mean by organizational structure. It can be defined as the manner in which the various job tasks are formally divided, grouped and coordinated so that one can get the best results out of it. There are six elements of organizational structure. One is division of labor or work specialization. When you are going to divide the labor into small parts, the work is to be divided into small parts and the labor is to be divided in such a way that those small part of work only, they are doing it frequently, whereby they can develop expertise in that particular way, and that's how work specialization can occur. This concept was given by F.W. Taylor earlier in scientific management, and even Ford has used this concept, whereby within few seconds one car could be made because of the work specialization and the expertise developed by the workers. So some people were only doing the bonnet part of it, some were doing only the left wheel, some were doing only the right wheel, and the because of the expertise they were so fast that economies of scales has led to the production of the car in much faster rate, and that's how Ford had got lot of benefits out of it. Then comes departmentalization, where we are going to take the individual department to function in different way to have the particular production. Then chain of command is scalar chain, where it should go from top to bottom or from bottom to top. And span of control is the number of employees which can be controlled by a supervisor, and how many employees will be suitably controlled by the supervisor. There are multiple factors regarding that, and that Gracuna has given a formula regarding the relationships between the workers and the supervisors relationship, whereby one can find out what will be the total number of workers should be kept under a supervisor. And of course there are various factors regarding span of control, and Gracuna has given a formula for that also. Then centralization and decentralization, where the decision making is at the top in centralization and it's at the periphery in decentralization. And formalization is where there are standard operating procedures for each and everything to be done, and proper procedures and policies and guidelines have been given, whereby that's how if the people are going to do, they will be doing it more efficiently. So fundamentals of organizing, if we see, are the organization chart is a diagram that illustrates the reporting lines between units and people within the organization, so that people know exactly who is reporting to whom, and whether it is direct relationship or through somebody else, one can find out from this chart easily. And every organization has got their organization chart made. So the organization chart conveys four kinds of information. The boxes represent different units in that organization. The titles in each box shows the work performed by that person. For example, marketing executive, accountant, salesperson. So in the box that's written, which tells us that it is the work done by that person. Reporting relationships are shown by the lines. That means to whom he is reported is joined by the line between the two boxes, connecting the superiors and subordinates. And the levels of the organization are indicated by the number of vertical layers in the chart. Higher the number of vertical layers, you can say upper one will be having a higher level as the status of the person in the organization. So at the topmost there will be chairman, CEO of the person, below that there will be VP, below that there will be general managers and things like that. So here you can see the organization chart for Home Depot, which is adapted in this figure. The chairman of the company or CEO at the top, under him there are executive vice president, chief financial officer, executive vice president legal, executive vice president international technology, executive vice president operations. Under CEO there are executive vice president marketing, human resource and merchandising. Under vice president operations there are senior vice president operation and customer service. Under senior vice president operation there is president Mexico, president Atlantic and president Western. And similarly under CFO there is vice president investor relations and vice president real estate. So this is how one can find out from the chart who is reporting to whom and who is at a higher level as compared to the other person. Similarly, Starbucks organization chart is shown in this figure where CEO, president, then executive VP legal, supply chain and coffee, partner resources, chief financial officer. Under supply chain and coffee there will be somebody VP for only coffee. Then under him there will be president Japan, Middle East, North America, Southwest. Under North America there will be Southwest, South Central and Northwest. Under president international will be United Kingdom, Australia, Thailand, like this. A clear cut indication can be arrived at by looking at the organization chart of any organization like this. How many levels are there, who is at what level and who is doing what kind of function, what is the role of that person, easily can be seen in this chart. So differentiation means that the organization is composed of units that work on specialized tasks using different work methods and requiring employees with unique competencies for that particular work. So accountant will be having competency for accounting, where he knows how to arrive at profit and loss account, how to do the balance sheet of the whole organization, or in that particular department what are the various departmental balance sheets and all. So this is how work differentiation is done. Then division of labor means that the work of the organization is divided into smaller tasks, so that somebody will be doing a particular smaller task and he becomes expert in that, as we have seen in scientific management by F.W. Taylor. Now specialization is the process of identifying particular tasks and assigning them to different departments, to different teams or divisions. So one can specialize in one particular aspect of the function. So somebody will be marketing expert, so he will be in marketing. Under marketing there will be marketing executive, then sales people, etc. So this is how they have got different teams to be made in that particular specialty. And that's how integration means that the various units must be put back together so that the whole work is coordinated. So for a particular product you have got a separate marketing person, separate account person, separate HR person. So integration of all these functions are ultimately made so that the profitability of that product for the whole organization is increased and it is properly controlled also. So there are five elements in case of vertical design. One is hierarchy, is a pyramid which shows relationship among the different levels. As in the diagram you can see, the span of control offers to the number of employees directly reporting to a person. The factors which influence the span of control will depend on, one is the competence of both the manager and the employee. If the manager is highly competent, he can supervise more number of people. Similarly, if the subordinates are highly competent in their field, then more number of people can be looked after by one supervisor. Then similarity or dissimilarity of tasks being supervised. If the similar tasks are being supervised, then naturally more number of people can be easily seen. But if the tasks are dissimilar, whereby the expertise required for different tasks will be different, then you need different supervisors for dissimilar tasks. And hence, the number of people under one supervisor will be less. So, span of control will be less. Similarly, the incidence of new problems will be in the manager's department will have different kind of connotation to the span of control. More the problem, new problems, less the number of people can be supervised. The extent of clear operating standards and rules, if they are there, then there are specific guidelines given, standard operating procedures are given, then people are going to follow that, and hence you need less supervision for them and more number of people can be supervised by an individual supervisor. There is a concept of authority, responsibility and accountability, where authority is the right for that person to make a decision. So based on the level of a person in the organization, different kinds of authorities they have got. For example, say a VP purchase will be having authority up to say 2 crore rupees. General manager purchase will be having authority to purchase something up to say 1 crore rupees. Joint general manager in purchase department may be having an authority up to 50 lakh rupees. Like that, authority is the right to make a decision which will be different for the different level of people in that organization. Responsibility is an employee's duty to perform the assigned task. So, VP of that purchase and material management department will be having responsibility towards the purchase, towards the inventory, towards the store, etc. General manager will have responsibility differently. A different general manager for purchase will be there, a different general manager for store will be there, a different general manager for inventory will be there, etc. So, from responsibility, we know exactly what is the duty of that person for the assigned task he is supposed to do. Then accountability is the manager's expectation that the employee will accept credit or blame for this work. That means finally he is accountable for that. So, higher the level of the person, the accountability will go on increasing for that person. As far as the delegation is concerned, it is the process of giving authority to a person or a group or a team to make decisions and act in certain situations. Without delegation, it is very difficult to work in an organization, because otherwise the superior person, if he is going to do everything, it will be very difficult for him to allot time for the conceptual aspects, the design aspects, the higher aspects of the organization's strategies. So, he should delegate his functions to some subordinates who are capable of doing that. First, he should show them how to do it, supervise it, and then let them take the whole responsibility of doing it. Then only he can do better work for the vision of the organization, for the conceptual aspect of the organization and higher functions of the organization. Practices useful in effective delegation will be: establish your goals and standard, ensure the clarity of exactly what is to be done by your subordinate, involve him in doing it under your supervision properly first, then expect that the whole work is completed by him. You should provide him training for that, and you should give him periodical, timely feedback. If he is going wrong anywhere or if he is doing well also, he should be appreciated for that, so that positive reinforcement occurs. Then there is a concept of centralization and decentralization. That's one of the elements of vertical design as well as in an organization. We have seen organizational design. Centralization is the concentration of authority at the top of an organization or department, whereby all the decisions are taken by the top management. While decentralization is the delegation of this authority to lower level of employees or departments. So, whenever there is more of delegation, there is more of decentralization that is occurring. That means the peripheral people are capable of taking decisions, and they are allowed to take decisions regarding organizational activities, and no need for him to go on asking this to the top management every now and then, so that the delay is prevented and quick decisions are taken at the peripheral level itself. Key factors which affect the decision to be centralized or decentralized will be: what is the cost of decision? When the cost of decision is very high, then naturally it should be taken by the higher management. When there are certain legal aspects, it should be taken by the higher management. Allocation of budget is concerned, it should be taken by the higher management at the top level, and then at a major budget level, and then lower budget level can be looked after by the lower people. Uniformity of policy should be there all over the organization. The competency level of a person will also decide whether he should be given that kind of responsibility or not. And there should be still some control mechanisms to see to it that even if some of the decisions are taken by the lower people, whether they are appropriate as per the policies of the organization or not. And one has to see the environmental influences also. If some part of the function of the organization is done in a remote place, then naturally everything cannot be controlled by the top management there. In that case, one should decentralize the function. So let's understand how the employees are going to be grouped. One is functional departmentalization, product departmentalization, geographic departmentalization, customer departmentalization, process departmentalization, matrix design. These are the various ways in which employees can be grouped so that one can have effective and efficient functioning of the organization and achievement of the goals based on the type of organization, based on the production and services, based on the geographical distribution of various production factories. The different kinds of departmentalization will be ideal for that organization. Let's understand about functional departmentalization, where as per the function, the departmentalization is done. This concept was basically arrived at by F.W. Taylor. He has made the functional departmentation into 8 various ways, and the planning and executive function was differentiated there by him. Planning should be done by the top management and higher people, and the execution of these plans should be done by the lower people. So based on the function, one can have this kind of departmentation. Say accounting will be separately done by account experts, human resources will be by HRM, manufacturing will be by operation management, there will be research and development department who will be doing innovation and finding out the newer products by technologically latest products, and there should be a separate department for quality control to look after the quality of products and services. So this is how functional departmentalization can be done. Dell, which is one of the renowned computer company, they have got this kind of functional structure, where CEO, under him there is a manufacturing function, sales function, customer service function, product development function, and material management function, so that every expert in that particular field will be looking after that kind of function, and under him there will be executives and lower people for that particular function. So let's understand what can be the potential benefits of a functional design and what can be the potential pitfalls. The benefits will be: it supports skill specialization of an individual, whereby since he is expert in that particular field, because he's got high skills in that particular specialization, naturally he will develop these skills further and he will be motivated to work towards it in much better way. It will lead to higher efficiency of this person, and naturally he will be effective. It reduces duplication of resources and increases coordination among all. It enhances career development of these people, and By this, the junior people in that particular function will be trained by the senior people in those particular functional area. There will be learning curve for them, but under supervision they are doing it, and hence they will be more motivated to function in that particular area and they will become expert in that particular area. That's why it will develop their career development in that function. It allows the superiors and subordinates to share common expertise, so that some of the new people who have learned some of the new technology, they can pass it on to the seniors also. Then it promotes high quality of technical decision making, because the experts are there in that particular field who are coming together. Naturally, it will lead to high quality technical decision making by them in that particular function. However, the potential pitfalls can be, there can be inadequate communication among the people, because some of the experts are very egoistic. They do not tell everything to their subordinates. There can be conflicts over product priorities. When there are multiple products, multiple experts are there, the product A expert will say that I want all the resources, more resources for my product, while product B expert will say that I should be given more resources. So likely that conflicts may occur over product priorities. There can be difficulty with inter-unit coordination, since there are expertise developed and functionally expert people are there, and that's why they may not coordinate with other unit people at times, because they are more egoistic and they feel that I am great in my function. While focus on departmental rather than organizational issues and goals are more common in this kind of design, and it develops managers who are experts in a very narrow field for that particular function only. So generalization, generalized people having knowledge about multiple things, where multiple skilling may be required, it can be difficult to get in this kind of design. Then the second kind of departmentalization can occur based on the product. For example, if it's a consumer goods production manufacturing industry, one can say that under CEO there is a Tide detergent, one product is there, and there are people for that. There are deodorant, there is Crest toothpaste, there is a peanut butter and Folger coffee. So for different kind of products, there is a different kind of people who will be required. Under each product, there can be manufacturing, accounting, human resource, research and development, and quality control. Like that, under each product, you can have multiple people to look after that product only. So here also you can see the divisional structure, where CEO under that corporate management, computer division, aerospace division, appliance division, under each there will be multiple people like HR and accounts and marketing and so on and so forth. So this is the market type of division structure, where under CEO corporate management, where corporate customers are there, some people will be marketing to business customers, some will be marketing to individual customers, while some people will be marketing to only government agencies. So that's how they can become functionally also more important for marketing to those particular types of clients, where they develop some expertise in marketing, because everybody's view about certain products, everybody's way of handling those products, everybody's policies will be different. So geographic type of division structure can be under CEO corporate management. Then one can say north region, east region, west region, south region, like that. We can have special managers for individually for different regions, and that's a geographic type of division structure.